All characters appearing in this work are fictitious. Any resemblance to real wildfowl, living or dead, is purely coincidental. The Big Bird Corporation returns for the second part of its insightful look into life for birds, young and old, at the Wildfowl University, the intellectually gifted and economically advantaged. Located in the ancient town of Swindon, we return to the university for the second part of our documentary celebrating the anniversary of our first visiting the campus. 50 years after the university removed its barbed wires and sentry towers and allowed members of the public to enter into its hallowed halls, dreamy spires, and lusty lakes for a nominal fee. In this unique fly on the wall...
Sarah, you can't save it anymore.
What?
Fly on the wall. You can't save it anymore. It perpetuates the lazy stereotype of flies being eavesdroppers. It's a new editorial stance.
Oh, okay. Can we start again? Good. We will be rejoining several ducks and geese who volunteered to talk to us about student life, as well as talking for the first time to members of the campus faculty, getting their views on university matters, old and new. After a tip-off from the college provost revealing to us that some students will be waking up this morning to some very unwelcome letters, we begin by rejoining second-year ducks Mark and Daniel inside the campus mailroom, where students meet each and every morning to pick up post. Hello, Mark.
Oh, hello.
Any interesting posts this morning?
Well, that's a very leading question.
Hey, have you read this? Have you read this letter from the provost and his team of goose counsellors?
Oh, good lord. What are the Gestapo making us do now?
We have to go to a mandatory corn awareness course.
Corn awareness? Who isn't aware of corn? I've seen the provost. You can tell he's got tons of the stuff in his little warren.
No, apparently they've been looking through our campus internet histories.
Give me that. Dear student, our IT department recently undertook random perusals of your internet usage. Following on from this, any ducks found to have accessed soft or hardcore corn online will be required to attend a mandatory corn awareness course before they are able to continue in their studies. This is for the protection of all birds from the pernicious mindset which we feel the viewing of corn can propagate.
What, just ducks? I know plenty of geese that look at corn. I know some geese that have made money appearing in corn videos. And have you seen the music channel recently? It's basically popcorn. This is discrimination.
Let me finish. Before you suggest there has been any discrimination of any kind, remember that you are ducks, and your forefathers were very naughty and not generally that tolerant of other kinds of birds. So be quiet before you're accused of geesogeny and expelled, and be glad that it's only myself and our all-duck IT team who know about this.
Mm. That's a bit more forthright than the Provost's standard newsletters. Well, I don't know how it got sent to me. I've certainly never accessed...
Oh, give it a rest, Daniel. This thing's going to be full of hundreds of ducks who never accessed a bit of corn on campus.
3 hours this thing lasts.
Lord. This is going to be worse than that time I was flying too fast on my way to campus and the speed cameras got me. I had to go on a wing speed awareness course.
How was that?
Now you're all here because you've been very bad. Very bad indeed. Very bad in speed. Oh, sorry, I do like to laugh. Yes, well, in our books, everybody deserves a second chance. Or in your case, Marty, a seventh chance. But it's not all bad being on this course. Not only will you be rehabilitated into safe flyers, you all get a free pen.
Oh, just kill me now.
Oh, just don't write too quickly with it.
Ah! I'm not going on another one! I'm sick of everyone assuming we don't know how to look after ourselves!
Well, you did nearly die after doing the Duck Nominate Challenge.
So you aren't exactly thrilled at the prospect of attending, then?
Well, it would at least be better if they made everyone attend. Can't beat a bit of communal suffering.
During our last visit, we spoke to student journalist and goose activist Heron Hailstone. We join her again on the cusp of her most audacious stunt yet. You've been doing your best to drum up attention over your latest campaign. How's that going?
Things have been better. But I don't think anyone's going to be able to just ignore me and what I have to say after I begin my hunger strike.
Hunger strike?
Yes. Just as so many hideous ducks overindulge themselves in the most base manner imaginable by watching horrible, objectifying corn, I would highlight their insatiable appetite for harmful smut by foregoing my own appetite.
Oh, yes. We all know your opinions on ducks and corn. But, of course, the university held a referendum just a few months ago, and students voted in favour of allowing softcore corn magazines for ducks to still be sold in campus outlets.
Yes. My darkest hour. But we will rise again. Have no fear. We'll keep campaigning. It's only a matter of time before we've got everything banned that objectifies geese in any way. Then we will finally be able to flap our wings as one and fly through the great glass ceiling the ducks have kept in place for years.
Okay. A hunger strike is quite the statement, but I'll be blunt. Do you think this will make any kind of impact? Do you think anyone will care?
Let's just say I'm a bird who knows how to tweet their way into the public consciousness. Ducks, geese, swans, that's all anybody is going to be talking about. You just wait and see. For a start, I'm going to go and talk to the birds' student radio to drum up some support.
Oh yes, the student radio station. I hear they're very good.
Yes, yes, actually they are.
I mean, for student radio, I hear they do very good work.
Yes, very good.
Yes, very good indeed.
Yes.
Heron isn't the only bird on campus campaigning. First year duck, self-proclaimed B-Doc, and notorious campus Lothario and stand-up comedian Russell Russell has been handing out flyers all around campus highlighting the economic discrepancies between the country's highest earning birds and its poorest. You've been handing out pamphlets on campus for some time now, and you're making a bit of a name for yourself. Why don't you explain in your own words for us now the exact message that you're trying to get out there, and why it is that you've chosen to move from comedy into politics?
You see, the propagation of the overtly candid sentiments of the belligerent ruling classes is manifested in the manner in which they pander to the nouveau riche. Ergo, a plethora of disparately proportioned schemes are employed to maintain this rather lamentable imbroglio of class distinctions. And you, my fine friend, are very much an intricate part in this grand fandango of dissimulation and duplicitousness which so entraps the young people in this country into falling further into the juxtaposing of the prevalent situation currently entrapping their prospects and the potentiality of the change to the system which was so much needed. I mean, you just have to look at those moribund, antediluvian ducks we have in office at the moment to know that it's an axiomatic problem that we need to try and spread to those obstreperous youths who might actually do something about it.
We're not going to talk to you anymore. Goodbye. We were fortunate enough to be invited to follow Daniel and Mark as they attend their three-hour-long corn awareness workshop.
Hello, I'm Sid Sidney, your provost for the year. You're all here because we've been looking at your internet history while on campus, and you've been specially selected to attend our little workshop here. Running today's class will be the university's newest student counsellor, Shannon.
Hello, everybody. I'm your new student counsellor, Shannon. Now, let's not have any negativity in this room. You're all perfect just the way you are. But we've also established that you all have flaws, and with these workshops, we're going to try and change the way you think forever. Now, who here is going to be brave enough to admit they have a problem? Nobody? No one? Well, I'll go first because I know it's not easy. There was a time in my life, 5 years ago, when I weighed over 20 pounds. Yes, I know, hard to believe looking at me now, but there we are. Oh, I heard all the jibes. Gooseberry pie, the spruce goose, Goosezilla. Just because I choose to be gastronomically alternative.
Goosezilla, that's quite good.
Goostro what?
Gastronomically alternative. So, I went around universities just like yours, and I talked to young ducks like yourselves, and I explained that it is not okay to make fun of the gastronomically alternative.
What the hell is she talking about? She gets paid to tell ducks not to call her fat. This is a strange millennium.
So, we've established that you all have a problem with internet corn.
I don't think I have a problem. I think, if anything, this only proves that you have a problem with it.
Yes, you're all clearly very troubled, or we wouldn't have informed you of the fact that you are. But don't worry, my dears. We know just how to deal with troubled duck minds like yours. Now, if you'd all like to look at the whiteboard here, I've drawn a picture of a goose. Would anybody like to give her a name? No? Well, let's call her Sharon. That's a nice name. Now, Sharon here is like any other goose. She's a tender soul who needs to be respected and treated correctly. But she's also a confident young goose who doesn't need to be patronized by ducks, assuming she needs their protection, help, love, or whatever else a duck might try and impose on her. She's also gastronomically alternative, and that's her choice. And she's within her right to have you expelled if you say otherwise.
This can't be happening.
Yes, you.
Me?
Yes, you. Let's try a roleplay here. Imagine you are meeting Sharon here for the first time. What might you say?
It's very lovely to meet you, Sharon.
Right. Let's stop there. Now, can anybody else see how everything that,
Daniel.
See that Daniel just did is entirely inappropriate? No? Let's think about what he said. It was very lovely to meet you. Why is he saying that? What's so lovely about geese, Daniel? Is it their corn? Because that's what it sounded like to me. Let's try again.
Hello.
Now, that's more like it. Nothing untowards. Nothing too objectifying. Let's imagine Sharon invites you to an anti-corn rally in town. What do you say?
I believe as much in your right to campaign for what you believe in as I do to call you a moron from the very heart of my bottom. Hang on, that's not quite right, is it?
Provost! Provost! Can we have this duck removed permanently from this educational establishment?
What was that? Yes, probably.
Hey, how come Sharon gets to have an opinion, but he doesn't?
Because Sharon is a progressive goose who don't need no duck. Let's take five, everybody. Some real progress being made here.
The university boasts one of the oldest independent student radio stations in the country, and we visited some of their young reporters to find out how they intend to cover Heron's hunger strike.
It's nice to meet you all here.
Thanks. Oh, and well done on the National Documentary Award for your last visit here.
Oh, you heard about that?
Yes, we're all very impressed.
Well, that's very kind.
Yeah.
Indeed. We've heard that student campaigner Heron Hailstone has been coming to you looking for some help publicising her hunger strike. How have you been handling that? What plans do you have to spread the word?
No plans, because nobody cares.
I'm sorry?
No, we aren't going to do anything. Nobody cares. I don't care. Marty, do you care? See? No, really. Nobody gives a damn.
Oh, but as a young student journalist, isn't this the kind of thing you should be reporting?
We reported on the referendum and its build-up. We reported on Heron's campaigning as leader of the opposition. We even reported it when she chained herself to the revolving doors of the physics building, but not so well thought out on that one, really. Besides, I have a dissertation to write about straw. We're all very busy.
So, no coverage, then?
Well, we'll probably send along some first years. Good one, Marty.
We've also been lucky enough to catch up with second-year goose and student journalist, Dara, to get her thoughts on the latest campus issues.
It's good to meet you, Dara. Still writing for Goose?
No, actually. Writing for a student union-affiliated newspaper was starting to feel a bit like trying to communicate to the world by heavily censored telegram. A few other geese and ducks who felt the same way did actually try to get our own paper off the ground.
How did that go?
Well, the student union refused to ratify us, surprise, surprise, and forbade us from appearing with Goose or any of the other media at Freshers' Fair.
And why do you think that was?
I don't think they liked our independent stance on some of their policies. Our strategy was to get the papers out for 9 a.m. just as the first batch of birds start the day, give them something to read during lectures.
And why do you think it didn't take off?
Well, the name, for a start. Even I thought the Morning Wood was pushing it a bit for the title of a weekly paper. I've actually started doing some work with a student radio since then. You can count the listenership on one wing, but at least they put a bit of effort into their work.
Radio. Not a bad move, if I say so myself.
Thanks. And well done for that award.
Oh, don't mention it. Have you got an opinion on the...
Stop right there. If you're going to ask whether or not I have an opinion on Heron's latest stunt... Well,
yes, I was actually.
Well, don't. I'm tired of you media types assuming that, one, just because I'm a goose, I have to care so much about what other geese are supposedly doing on my behalf, and two, that you assume that I want to broadcast my views just because we all suddenly have the opportunity to.
You did write a fair few comment pieces in the past about this sort of thing. It's only fair to assume you want to be heard.
Well, contrary to what most chemists would have you believe, it's not carbon dioxide that comes out of a bird's beak when they pass judgment on these matters. It's just more oxygen fueling the grand old fire of meaningless sound and noise being shouted from the rooftops by so-called activists. Yes, I wrote a lot of comment articles, but in some ways I think it's more sensible to just keep your beak closed. They can't stand it.
They?
Yes, they. The self-proclaimed representatives of my species. I certainly don't remember asking Heron to fight for my rights as a 21st century goose, and it's wrong of her to expect my support. There's an irony, really. She wants, at least she says she wants, bird equality. Her acting like a lunatic highlights the fact that there are no good or bad species of bird, just certain individuals you wouldn't mind being seen made into a pie. Not that there'll be much pie to be had after her little hunger strike.
Well, that's very cheerful.
It's what I believe. Sue me. I will actually be on the student radio's discussion panel later this week, so there's a bit of free hypocrisy for you. Not that there's too much to really comment on with this goody-two-shoes of a duck we have as president. What's a goose to do?
Aside from our conversations with students, we have also been lucky enough to talk to the university's oldest member of staff, Duck Maximus Barnabas, Professor of Classics, and set to draw the curtain on a 61-year teaching career at the age of 88.
It's a true pleasure to meet a duck of your vintage, Maximus. I think it's fair to say that you've really become part of the furniture here over the years.
Yes, though I can't say quite as many young birds sit on me as they used to, eh, Watson?
Yes. You've seen so much change at the university over the last half century. What sticks out most in your mind?
The 1970s were interesting and really rather a lot of good sport. But sadly, quite a few good academics and other colleagues of mine had to be let go for reasons I'm contractually obliged not to discuss.
Of course, one of the big changes within the university's sphere over the last decade or so has been the introduction of tuition fees. Do you think universities still offer the same value for money as they did earlier in your career?
Do you know what you can do with a classics degree? You can't even become me anymore with one. We all live too long. All the students I graduated with who went on to teach Septimus Barbarus, Emmanuel Passion, Max England are all still kicking around.
But of course you're finally making way now.
Well, yes, you see, I'd like to have time to visit Greece again, just once more.
When did you last go?
1947. Not the best of circumstances, really. Not one to dwell upon. But I hear they have democracy of sorts there now. So that's something to go and enjoy.
Well, speaking of that sort of thing, there's rather a lot of student activism goes on nowadays. How's that changed over the years?
Oh, none of this happened when I joined. The students were political, but they didn't bother complaining about every little thing. I suppose they had employment to look forward to back then. People get rather restless when they don't know what to do or what their future holds. But like the Greeks in 47, you know, nasty business.
Indeed.
You know, I had dinner with the Vice-Chancellor the other night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Vice-Chancellor. A board of governors. All kinds of luminaries.
Very nice.
Do you know what they served?
Sorry?
What they served? At a dinner following my 60-odd years at this university. Eh? Cucumber sandwiches. I should have stayed in the damned army. At least they had as much spam as a duck could eat. So I stood up, gave my speech, said my farewells, gave my finest toast to them all. Ed acabo ego vos et irumbambo, to which they all raised their glasses and drank the old wine they've been hiding from me for the last 60 years. Damn them all.
Later, during our visit, the student radio station got in touch with us to let us know that they would in fact be reporting on Heron's hunger strike and invited us along to record their coverage.
You are listening to Wildfowl University Radio, on air and in the air.
Hello, university listeners. We're here live in our studios, where we have a direct feed with our reporter Ellie, who's down at the library bearing witness to Goose Heron Hailstone's hunger strike. What's the atmosphere like down there, Ellie?
I'm here outside the university library, where Heron Hailstone's hunger strike is really getting into full swing.
Yes, Ellie, we know. What's the level of interest at the moment?
Well, Jess, I can safely say that nobody cares. People are sidestepping round the protester and going about their business as usual. It would appear that absolutely no impact is being made on the general public by this young troublemaker. Let's have a listen in.
Ban the corn mags!
Amazing stuff, Ellie. We'll be back for more later.
The following morning, we returned to the college mailroom where students were picking up the latest issue of Goose, following an anonymous tip-off that students would be getting quite the shock.
Mark, have you seen this?
What?
Today's Goose.
Let's have a look. Bird corn pests revealed inside.
They've revealed the names of all the ducks who were made to go on the corn awareness courses.
Well, that was just about every duck. I don't really think it's anything to be especially embarrassed by.
And they've included a huge spreadsheet with the names of the corn websites each duck visited.
Oh no. Oh god, no. My mother reads that paper online. Everyone will read that paper. Who's done this? Who's responsible?
The provost?
No, not the provost. Even he wouldn't stoop to this.
Shannon?
She's got a good thing going on. Why would she stir things up like this? No, this goes far beyond Shannon.
Well, who is it then?
Well, Daniel, let's have a think. Who in Goose is a duck-hitting, corn-banning sociopath?
Marty?
No, Daniel! This is the work of Heron, it has to be!
Do you two really think she would do something like this?
I certainly wouldn't put it past her. You're right. This reeks of Heron.
With the campus's student president, Scottish Sam, named as one of the ducks to have viewed corn on campus grounds, we spoke to him about whether he felt he could continue in his role. In spite of your campus reputation for being, if you'll pardon the expression, boring, you're one of the ducks to have been publicly listed as having viewed corn online whilst on campus in the leak which is being referred to by students as the flappening. Do you think that's appropriate as a representative of the entire bird population of this university?
Look, I deny all allegations. This is clearly just a ruse to undermine my presidency.
Well, we have a list here of the sites you've supposedly been on. Do none of these ring a bell? Backdoorcorn.com?
Certainly not.
Cornageddon?
No.
www.cornucopia.com?
Definitely no.
Corn to be wild?
No.
Corn with the wind? I mean, that's particularly disturbing.
Look, there's no wind! No.
Do you not feel any pressure to resign with these allegations in mind? After all, you campaigned to have corn magazines banned from campus shops when the referendum took place.
Well, I wanted to...
Your exact words were, "We have got to move firmly into the 21st century and make sure that no such offensive material is publicly available on university property." Does this not all smack of more than a little bit of hypocrisy?
No. I deny all allegations. Did you see the headline they ran? It's the worst headline I've ever seen. They could have at least tried to slander me with a bit of poetic license.
What was the headline?
It was, "Hail to the Chief. The Chief Who Likes Corn."
Well, but come now. The evidence is rather stacking up against you here.
No, look, well, I want to, you
really,
know.
You can't honestly expect us all to believe that you don't.
All right, fine. I like corn. There. Are you happy? Do you know who else likes corn? Everybody. Everybody likes corn. We're ducks. Why on earth would we not like corn? You can't say that out loud anymore. And apparently you can't view it in the privacy of your own room without geese trying to shame you. I live with four geese. And do you know how many of them watch corn? All of them! But I don't see their viewing habits being plastered in goose. You know what? I'm done. Look, screw this. Do you not even know how much hypocrisy it even takes to be a student politician? Do you know how little I care about whether or not this society gets ratified or that student campaign is successful? Not a jot!
We rejoined Mark and Daniel in the wake of the Flappening leaks. The two of you have been rather personally affected by the Flappening. How are you coping with the aftermath?
The afterflap? Well, I'm not going to lie. I have been better.
Mark, I'm just a bit surprised at some of the things you've been looking at.
You looked at the leaks?
Well, of course I looked at it. I'm on the damn thing. At least mine was mostly soft corn, with a bit of popcorn thrown on the side. Oh, there's no easy way to say this. You're a freak, Mark.
I have individual tastes.
I mean, corn tube, that's one thing, but www.hardcorecornivores.com. Oh, Mark, I am disappointed. Oh, and what was the other one? Ducks who've...
I was curious! I'm allowed to be curious. I didn't realize the whole campus was going to find out about it. I certainly don't think you should be taking the moral high ground here anyway. I saw the kind of popcorn you're into. Or should I say, barely popped corn.
Hey, that was an accident. I did not mean to end up on that site.
Sure you didn't, Daniel. Sure you didn't.
Have either of you considered taking any kind of legal action?
I don't think Mark is the one who should be enacting legal action.
Yes, it's all very embarrassing. But for a start, we don't actually know who did all of this. And as much as Goose publishing it makes them terrible birds, and I do want to see them publicly flayed, I say, flayed! But that doesn't mean everybody needs to start suing everyone else.
It makes that corn awareness course you went on all the more ironic. I don't think there's a type of corn you aren't intimately aware of.
Hey, I'm not going to stand for this.
I'm joking, Mark. I'm joking. Keep your tail feathers on.
I will not be ridiculed!
I don't think there's any chance of that.
Hey, I thought you were supposed to be some anonymous narratorial presence.
No, I have free rein to jerk you around as I see fit.
Well, that's just dandy.
With the corn scandal reaching new heights, the student radio station invited us back to listen in to their discussion panel on the matter.
Hello, and welcome to Bird Brains, the university's top campus discussion panel. Now, on this evening's show, it's the campus event that's got everyone talking. The mass leak, which has been dubbed the Flappening, was made in the latest issue of campus newspaper Goose. We're joined today by student journalists Heron and Dara and Provost Sid Sidney, whose college's IT team is the original source of the leaked information. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
So, let's get started. In fact, a recent poll that we conducted indicated that no birds have read this edition, in spite of the circulation of around 5,000 copies disappearing within a matter of days. What do any of you have to say about that?
Well, if these ducks didn't want other birds to know that they'd visited these websites, they shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Well, you would say that, Aaron. And explain how it is that the editor of the paper who made these leaks has no idea where they came from.
I can't be expected to know everything that happens at my own newspaper.
You really expect birds to believe that private information about ducks was illegally obtained and you didn't know anything about it? Really? Do you think we're stupid or are you just being stupid?
Stupid! We cleared 5,000 issues this week. No student paper has ever done that before. We made thousands in advertising revenue. Who are you calling stupid?
Wait, are you admitting to using stolen private information about individuals to increase your advertising revenue?
Yes, we published the leaks. Nothing else was going to get through to these ducks on campus. I campaigned. I petitioned. I starved myself. And nothing happened. Nobody noticed. Nobody cared. I had to hit them where it hurt. Right in their sense of smug entitlement. That they can just continue in their precious status quo. Objectifying geese by day, watching corn by night. But I most certainly did not steal them.
You didn't.
No, I do draw a line at theft.
Who knew?
Well, I must say, on record here, we certainly have no idea how any birds might have obtained this material. It must have been an inside job from what we can see. There's no other explanation for it.
What? Marty? It was you?
But why, Marty? Why?
Well, that was unexpected.
Well, I think it's time for us to take a break here. But don't go anywhere, though. We'll have our feature on Moss in just a moment.
In the light of the revelations regarding Marty the Moorhen's involvement in the flappening, we spoke one final time to Dara, who ran a very widely circulated exposé in her new campus paper.
Quite the week for you then, Dara.
Who would have known that a story on how much of a raging sociopath Marty the Moorhen turned out to be would be the making of the Morning Wood? What a world.
So your involvement with campus affairs isn't quite over yet?
I suppose not. Whether you're a duck, whether you're a goose, whether you're a voyeuristic moorhen, university is just one big snow globe, really. It seems from the inside like there's nothing else out there, and it doesn't take too much to really shake things up. But from the outside, it's a shrill and inaccessible irrelevance. How can you not take advantage of having a voice in a place where it almost seems to matter to people? That's certainly not going to happen again after we graduate.
Cheerful as ever.
I saw the figures for your listenership.
Moving swiftly onwards, now that you've got the newspaper established on campus, any final words on your plans for the future?
Plans? Hopefully sell up and fly south to the Bahamas. Hey, a goose can dream, can't she?
That's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Dara.
The narrator was played by Sienna Holmes. Daniel was played by Richard Priday. Mark was played by Charles Dean. Dara was played by Corey Russell. Heron was played by Rosamond Smith. Shannon was played by Grace Winpenny. Maximus was played by Jacob Roth. Scottish Sam was played by Ali Woods. Sid Sidney was played by Dominic Rastelli Lewis. Radio Manager was played by Alex Light. Radio Jess was played by Rebecca Saw. Radio Ellie was played by Charlie Hutchinson. Tutor was played by Alex Hackett Anwell. Assistant Producer was Georgie Norgate. Edited by Michael Brennan, Michael Carr, and Beth Pryor. Written by Michael Carr. Produced by Michael Brennan and Michael Carr for the URY speech team.